Hello and welcome to Creative Control, the entertainment podcast. I'm your host, Kenan, and thank you for joining us on our latest episode. Joining me from the Creative Control team, we have Sasha. How are you doing, Sash?
Hey, you guys all right?
Good, good. And also joining us is Alex. How are you doing, Alex?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, good. Well, thank you for joining me today, and thank you to our watchers and listeners for joining us today. We are going retro once again. If you're not familiar with this series, the Creative Control team, a little bit older, so, you know, middle-aged men, I guess we are now, unfortunately, that's how we have to describe ourselves, but we want to recognize some of the movies that we grew up with, and a lot of the movies in the 80s and 90s don't get the attention that they really deserve. So we've gone back and given our top 10 movies of each year, starting with 1980. So if you're a fan of the 80s movies, check out our list, because you might find some real gems that you don't even know about and is worth checking out. I've definitely watched a hell of a lot of movies from this period, simply because Sasha has mentioned some, Alex has mentioned some, and I'm like, I haven't seen these, I need to go check them out. And going through today's list, I've realized how many I need to go back and watch as well. I was sitting next to Emma today, and I was just like, I haven't watched as many movies as I thought. She's like, all you do is watch movies. I was like, no, you have no idea. I was like, there's loads of movies I still need to see. So we are here for the top 10 movies of 1987. Okay. And the way that we do it is we work on the US box office calendar year. So the movie would have to be released between the 1st of January to the 31st of December, 1987. And the way we do it is we do a combined list. So we've all got our individual top 10 lists, and these are very personal because movies mean different things to different people, but we try and create a combined list. So it ends up like a draft. As there's three of us today, we will each have three picks to put into the top 10, which will leave one spot, which we need to fight out for. All right. So sometimes this is a lot about strategy, because there'll be certain movies you want to get in, and sometimes we're relying on that other person to put it in. It can get quite competitive, I have to say. Sasha's really figured it out in the last couple of weeks to make sure he gets in his choice picks, and that's really worked for him. Right. Just before we kick off, I just want to say again, thank you very much for being here. Please make sure you hit that like and subscribe on our YouTube channel. We'd really appreciate that support. And make sure you share our content. If you like it, that's great. If you don't like it, share it out of hate. I'll take a share. That's no problem. Anything to raise a brand and awareness. You can catch a video version on YouTube and Spotify. And you can get the audio version on any major podcast platform. All right. So, gentlemen, have you got your lists? It looks like Sasha's still tweaking last minute.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. All right. Sasha's still tweaking. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open it up. Alex, I'm going to come to you for your first pick. All right. So this is your pick to make the top 10. What is going to be your nomination?
Right. This was, I didn't realize actually what films came out in 87 until last night.
When you initially said
87, I was like, exactly. I figured there's usually we get about two picks depending on how many people are on the podcast.
Yes.
I kind of had two kind of that I know that probably most people won't have. So I thought, okay, mm-hmm. Well, that's fine. And then once I started realizing what else came out in it, I'm like, oh, shit, that's good.
Yeah, exactly. I found last episode where we did this in 1986 was the most difficult yet. And because all the others prior to that, generally, we've all had very similar lists. But it's now you're getting to that period where more movies are being churned out, different genres. You know, we're getting more sci-fi, we're getting more comic book movies and all this kind of stuff. And suddenly it starts, it's getting very difficult. I had a good solid eight and I struggled with the last two spots. But then my honorable mentions, I'm like, on a given day, one of those could fit into the top 10 easy, you know? So let's see what we can do. Okay. Right. So what's going to be your number one pick?
I'm trying to think strategically as well, because sometimes I rely on Neil to... I know that he's
and Neil is not here. That's right. You and Neil are often on the same page. Neil has presented me his list, so I have Neil's list. It is different from mine. And again, so if he was on this episode, it would have been even more of a challenge. But we'll see what happens. We'll give him a shout. I'll go through his list, and maybe his might make that final spot. We will see.
Okay. Well, since we've got three picks each, I think I'm going to go traditional to start with, because I'm pretty sure that at least a couple of others you guys will have on yours. So I think being the Arnie fan I am, I couldn't go without doing Predator as probably my number one.
Good man. Absolutely, 100%.
As much as I hope, and I'm pretty sure you would have that on one of, at least one of you would have it on your list.
Yes, it is. Is that number one? Is that your number one movie of the year? Do you remember?
I would say, yeah, probably it would be, actually, to be fair. Yeah. I think I would still probably put it as number one. Yeah, it's a couple that are probably battling it out, but I would say that probably pushes it to the top for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I love Arnie. It's a fantastic film anyway. I'm a big fan of the Predator franchise as much as obviously some of, apart from obviously Prey, which really sort of did justice to the franchise. The last few fights obviously really lived up to the name. But I'm a big fan of the franchise. Love the whole sort of concept of the Predator, and yeah, the first one with Arnie, and just can't go wrong with it.
No, absolutely. I've watched that movie so many times, and Predator is one of those movies that will probably make my top 10 movies of all time. That's how much I enjoy that movie. It's just got everything you want. And sometimes it's hard to pick a favorite Schwarzenegger movie. And I think when it comes to like a top 10 of all time, I'd probably have two of his in there. It'd be probably T2 and Predator. I don't know if I could separate them. I'd pick T2 ahead of it, but Predator, again, it was just the ensemble of the cast as well. It's got a great cast. We've got Carl Weathers on there, Jesse Ventura, and just the pacing of the movie and the fact that you don't see the what they're fighting for the majority of the movie adds that real suspense to it. And it's an absolute favorite. It is, again, one of those movies. If it comes on TV and I am channel flicking, boom, I'm finishing that. I'm absolutely finishing that. So, yeah,
it's definitely a movie that could go on a top ten list, regardless of whether it was an Arnie list. You know,
yes,
you've got that sci-fi element, so it could go on a sci-fi. It's action, so it could go on an action list. It can go on an Arnie list. It covers a lot of bases, man. So, yeah,
it does. It does. All right. If you don't know what Predator is, anybody watching or listening, I'm not going to tell you. Just go watch it. It's that simple. I'm not going to give you plot. I'm not going to give you. I've given you some people who are in it. Just go watch this movie. Okay, Sasha,
you're all dead to me if you've never seen Predator. It's simple.
In the sense if there's like some 17, 18 year olds maybe catching this podcast where they haven't watched it for whatever
reason.
They're
the exception, but if you're over 20 and not seen Predators, you need to stand in a corner and think about your life hard.
Hard. Think about those life choices and how you're spending your free time.
Definitely.
So Sasha, where is it on your list?
Funnily enough, it's number two.
Okay.
Because there was a big fight between the top spot. And I was just like, yeah.
I know what the other movie will be. So it could only be one other movie.
Did you guys find it difficult? Because I really did.
Yeah.
For the top spot?
Yeah, for the
or
top
the holes
spot.
List? The top spot, not really. For me, that is just a film that... It hits different to me. So for me, that was automatically my number one. As soon as it was 87, that was it. Number two was the quickest number two for me. But everything else kind of filled out afterwards. It will be interesting to see if we're talking about the same movie, but yeah. All right. So
I'm really worried if they were not thinking.
Yeah, I know. See, friendships can be on the line in this podcast. It's like it can change
dynamics.
It's like
Batman and Robin all over again.
Let's not go there. We'll have to do a whole separate podcast on that particular subject, I think. Okay, Sasha, I'm going to come to you for your number one pick then. What is the first movie you're going to put in for the draft?
Because I know how it works. I know my number one strategize. Get in there. So I'm looking.
That's it. That's why Sasha's got some real key movies in over the last few weeks. So he's definitely got his Jackie Chans in. There's certain movies where he's like, I need to make sure this hits the list.
Okay. I'm going to put in 1987's The Miami Connection.
The Miami Connection. Okay. I do not know this movie. Sasha, tell me about it.
Miami Connection is about a group, what's it about, a rock metal band that are also ninjas, and they face off against a biker gang that are also ninjas over a girl. Shit goes down and it's crazy. It's absolutely
I'm looking
crazy.
This up right now because that sounds amazing. Who's in it?
No one famous.
Right, okay, so it looks like Vice City almost from the front cover art, but okay, Miami Connection.
It's amazing. It's so bad. It's great.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Directors YK Kim and Park Woo-sang. I do not know these people. Yep. Wow, you've really come out of left field with this movie, man. So
yep, I have. This is
just because it's like it's so bad, it's so good kind of thing?
100%. All I gotta say is after this podcast, we will all watch the trailer to The Miami Connection.
All right, we'll tag that on to the end. I posted
it in the group chat a few times.
Right.
A few times, but for real, this one. So what it is, the director, he's actually like a martial artist. He's like a martial artist, came to a country, he taught martial arts and stuff. And then one day he was like, I want to make a movie showing martial arts and, you know, his philosophy of martial arts and all of this stuff. So he made this movie about brothers, that friends and, you know, comrades that have a rock music band that also and trouble goes nuts. So he even stars in it as one of the guys. And this film was a massive flop. Like, he made the movie. He didn't even know how to make a movie. He had no clue how to make a movie. He was just like, I'm going to make a movie. So he wrote it. He shot it with his students and his friends, his actual martial arts.
Right, okay.
And he went and made a kung fu movie. And literally, he spent a lot of his money doing it and et cetera. And then what happened was, he took it to Hollywood and everyone said no. Everyone was like, no. And then I think it had a screening, but nothing.
Yeah, I can see that.
It wasn't like a massive release. But then 30 years later, some guys that worked at like some film place where they restore old films and stuff.
Yeah.
They found like a print of the film there. And they were like, what the hell is this? And they were like, Miami Connection. So they decided to watch it. And they watched it in all its glory. And they were like, this is the greatest thing never seen. So then they decide to re-release it as part of like a double bill kind of thing.
Okay.
So contact the director. They call him up and he hung up on them when he heard Miami Connection. It was a bad experience. It almost bankrupted him.
Yeah.
This is a true story. And then basically what happened was they, after about five times when they got hung up, they just, you know, he was like, you guys like Woodpecker, what's going on? He was like, we'd like to meet you, da, da, da. And they basically said, look, we'd like to put the film out for like kind of like the grindhouse kind of audience as like a special thing. We'll promote it. We'll get as many people that are, you know, that are in the movie. Maybe if you got the band there, maybe we could have it where the band plays. We can't play. We're not musicians. We're martial artists. He goes, okay, well, fine. You can fake it. And, you know,
we want to put on a show because
we generally think your film is going to hit with a certain audience. And he thought they were insane and they offered him money. And he was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it.
Okay, yeah.
I'll call my friends. So he called everybody back for this one show in Texas where they were going to have like a, and it went down like a treat that it's gone around to different, you know, film nights and stuff. Kind of like The Room, how like it was so bad. Same kind of story. And fun enough, the guy, the director, so he had a martial arts dojo. Now he has hundreds of dojos across America. Wow. He's a millionaire. He's a millionaire, a nice house, everything. Jeez. He's a businessman. And then when he's hearing all of this, he thought it was a prank phone call. What the hell? He's not you know what I mean? He's self-made. He's like actually well off kind of thing. And like, he just practiced like good, like martial arts philosophy and stuff. In fact, the whole story I just said is better in the YouTube documentary I saw. And I was just like, wow, that's fucking amazing. This is so cool. So Miami Connection, check it out. It's so bad, but it's so fucking good. If you like stuff like Kung Fury and stuff like that, definitely check out the Miami Connection. Miami
Connection. I'm just having a look at his worldwide box office gross, and it's $2,199. It was only actually officially released in cinemas in Australia. So like you say, we didn't get an official release in the US, and that's where it made his money. So that is amazing. Actually, you know what? We're going to do the trailer reaction now. We have to see this now. All right. Okay. So we are going to do this trailer reaction right now for Miami Connection because I need to see what this is about so to understand it. So we're going to watch it now in 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We have a special treat for you today. We have a new house band with a new dimension in rock and roll. We have the one, the only Dragon Sound.
Oh, this is so 80s.
They're all playing teenagers, by the way.
Yes!
This band is the only family I have.
They're all black belts in Taekwondo and they're pretty bad.
I want you to mess it up by going out with a second-rate musician like that John character.
They came in here to play goddamn songs for kids!
Not escape the Miami Ninja!
That's amazing. Okay, I'm gonna have to watch this movie now. I think the whole movie's on YouTube, so
I'd say download it.
Right, that is the Miami Connection, and that is all kinds of special. Alex, thoughts?
I'm amazed it only made $2,000, right?
Wow. Okay. So the Miami Connection.
I'm not gonna lie, I would totally make a movie like that. 100%. It looks like it's just raw, great fun. And yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
that's. And the lead guy is the director. Like you said, he stars in his own movie. And yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you talked about doing a ninja movie, so it can be done.
It can be done, my friend. It's inspiring, man. I might do it.
Absolutely. All right. Okay, let's move on. So we've got two movies in our top 10. I'm going to put mine in and I'll just go with my number 2 just to lock it in there because it's going to all be on our list. It's RoboCop. So standard.
My number one.
Yeah, I understand how it'd be your number one. No arguments there. I got it on 4K as well. Had to be done. And is that the Steelbook?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fine. So, I mean, look, RoboCop was just incredible when it came out. It was... Look, it's not one we saw in the cinemas, okay? We're not that old, okay? And so it is a movie we discovered later, but not that much later. I was probably maybe 12, 13 maybe when I saw the movie.
Not when it came out.
But probably by the time I actually saw the movie, because I remember there you had the RoboCop cartoon, which obviously got kids interested in that, and you had the RoboCop toys. Ed 209 and RoboCop, and RoboCop's like plates came off or something like that, and you had battle damage to it and stuff like that. So we had, you know, we had all that. So then obviously we need to search out the movie, and that was a hard movie. And there's the there's like the director's cut, which has got additional like blood and gore and extra stuff in it, and it just adds to the spice. What can I say? But yeah, it's Murphy. He's a cop who gets gunned down by a gang, and he gets a new lease of life as part man, part machine, and becomes RoboCop and goes on a story of revenge while he tries to reclaim his memories and life. So, it's a romantic tale when you really think about it. So it's but at its core, it's just the ultimate revenge story. So man goes out for the guys who ruined his life. So Sasha, why is it your number one?
Why isn't it my number one? This shit blew. How can this film not blow anybody's mind, man? Mm-hmm. It's just so quotable. It's just got so many classic scenes in it.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
I'd buy that for a dollar. You know what I mean? Like, your move, creep.
Yeah.
Can you fly?
Alive, you're coming with me. Yeah. 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 It's like, super quotable.
And the villain is the dad from 70s Show.
The 70s Show, yeah. Yeah. Kurt, is it Kurt something?
Don't know, but I know Miss Clarence.
The actor, yeah, Kurtwood. Is it Kurtwood? Kurtwood Smith, isn't it?
Kurtwood Smith, yeah, Kurtwood, yeah. Okay, Alex, it must be in your top 10, right?
Yeah, it's basically my number two, mate. Yeah, the toss up between that and Predator was like, well,
yeah,
you know. Yeah. That's why I say on a given day, maybe RoboCop. I suppose it's one of those. If I just watch RoboCop, I'll be like, yeah, that's number one.
Do you know why it's my number one? Because Arnold has too many number ones on my list. So, you know what I mean? He had to have a peg down because when Terminator 2 comes out, that is number one.
That is his year.
You know what I mean? There's no competition. In fact, I would go so far to say that is that, you know what? Predator, Total Recall, and Terminator 2. That's my Arnold trilogy right there.
Yeah, like, I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree with that. We'll have to do an Arnold top 10 just for him, and then we'll do another Sly one as well. So, yeah, that'd be awesome. Okay, so back to Alex. It is your second pick. What are you going for?
Right, okay. Now that I know that those two are definitely in, I feel like I can breathe a little bit.
Yeah, got a little bit of room now. Yeah, some wiggle room.
Okay, I feel like... All right, Satch has gone way left field for one of his, so I'm going to probably do the same then. I'm going to go Near Dark.
Near Dark?
May not have heard of.
I've
heard of it.
Oh, yeah, Catherine Bigelow. Okay.
Way before the Hurt Locker and all that kind of stuff. It's a vampire movie, technically, yes. But they never say the word vampire in the film. But yes.
Right.
It reunites a lot of the cast from Aliens. So you've got Lance Hendrickson, Bill Paxton, and Jeanette Goldstein all coming back.
Yes. Okay.
I think it's Adrian Pastar from, I think I remember him most from Hero. Do you remember if anyone watched Heroes back in the day?
His picture right now. Yeah.
The brother to the main character, the one that can fly. But yeah, it's just, I'm not a horror guy, but I do love a vampire film. So, and it's one of those ones that's a little bit more obscure.
What's the kind of premise of the film?
So it's kind of Santa Fe. So you've got the main characters sort of young American, sort of Midwest, sort of cowboy kind of type character.
Right.
Spots a beautiful young girl out on the street, you know, tries to chat her up, basically gets bitten, as it turns out then, because she doesn't kill him, he starts to turn, gets roped into the family, who are just like a sort of bunch of hicks who sort of like travel around America and go from like car to car. It was one of those things, again, I'm not like a complete vampire film connoisseur or anything, but I would imagine that probably up until that point, most vampire films were your typical sort of Dracula.
Yes.
Obviously, Interview with a Vampire came out much later than this, but that kind of classical kind of
aristocratic mythology.
Kind of mythology wise in terms of the vampire, where this, as I say, like they never mention the word vampire. They talk about potentially like, you know, being a lot older than they look and all that kind of stuff. But it's just, you know, them sort of out and about on the run, you know, trying to get him into the fold.
Okay.
It's you know, if anyone's looking for something that's a little bit different to your standard sort of, you know.
That's going to go on my list because of the cast and, like you say, the director. So,
yeah. It's one of those things that, that always surprises people. It got overshadowed because it came out, obviously, 87, which is the same year that The Lost Boys came out, which might also get a mention from me a bit later on, depending on how everyone else is going to go. So, but obviously, yeah, Lost Boys came out the same year, and that was a lot more sort of mainstream, obviously aimed at maybe a slightly younger audience. And so I think that kind of popped a little bit more. And so Near Dark kind of like slipped under the radar and stuff.
Yeah, it did, because it only made at the worldwide box office 3.3 million. So, you know, relatively low. So, yeah, like you say, it was kind of looked over, but only simply probably because there was another big vampire movie out that year, and that probably had a lot of marketing behind it. All right, so Near Dark makes the list. Sasha, have you heard of that or seen it?
I've heard of it. Dave Richardson won't stop talking about it because he keeps like every time he hears about the next list, he's got his, and he's like, "So Sash, you got to say this, this, and this." I was like, "I ain't gonna say nothing." He's like, "Yeah, but like just in case one of your horror friends ain't gonna be there, like Neil or Alex or someone, come on, you got to put in your honorable mention." I was like, "If I ain't seen it, ain't going on the list."
I will have to say, Dave needs to send me his list direct. I'll give it a shout out for him. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, Sasha, what is your second pick?
Ooh, this is a hard one.
Mm-hmm.
This is a hard one. You know what? Because it might not get mentioned. Mm-hmm. I say The Living Daylights.
Okay, because in my honourable mentions,
because that ain't no honourable mention. This is real Bond, man. This is a real Bond movie. Fuck Daniel Craig. This is gritty Bond. Okay,
this is Timothy Dalton, the
most underrated James Bond ever. I'm sorry,
I agree.
Dalton, in my opinion, made two of the damn best James Bond movies ever made. Like ever made. Hands down. I'm not mincing my words here. They're both that good, okay? And this one, my God, like, spectacular. I don't know. You know what? Everyone's like, "Oh, but what if Pierce Brosnan was in it? What if Pierce Brosnan..." Who gives a fuck about Pierce Brosnan, man? I love Pierce Brosnan. I actually think if he was fucking James Bond in this movie, it wouldn't be good. It
wouldn't be the same movie.
I don't think it would be as serious and gritty. This one... Like, whenever everyone was like, "Oh, but Daniel Craig's the most grittiest James Bond," I'm like, "You ain't seen The Living Daylights, motherfucker. Yeah. Come on, man." Man fucking goes through customs with a cello.
If you hadn't noticed, this podcast is not made for kids. So,
oh, God, man. This film is great. Go watch it. It was an honourable mention. It's now been promoted, so
it's made our top 10. All right,
it was in my top 10. So yeah,
okay, that's good.
It was in your top 10. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm like Timothy Dalton. He was always actually my favourite James Bond. It was always one of those things that, you know, as a kid, you could never really like. I would never like hold my hands like, "Oh yeah, Timothy Dalton's my favourite one."
Because you get criticised for it.
Yeah, you couldn't get away with that. It's like you had to be Connery, and I was like, well, you know. Again, the age we are, the time we grew up. Well, I think probably one of the first Bond films I would have seen would have been Roger Moore anyway.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And so for me, when Timothy Dalton came along, I was like, yeah, this is like you say, way before Craig was doing his gritty thing. Mm-hmm. It was like Timothy Dalton all the way, mate.
Timothy Dalton was just slaying it, man. He was just slaying it. This film's great. It even has Gimli in it.
Okay. It's a film I probably haven't watched in a long time, so I'm going to have to revisit his two. Definitely worth it. All right. Okay, so that is... This is going to be a challenge now. What to pick? Oh, there's just so many good films.
There are.
I'm going to pick this film because it's a film I watch over and over again, and it's almost a film of two parts. And it was... really gritty, really powerful, but at the time I found it quite funny, and it was all about the insults. And then as you get older, you appreciate the second half of the movie more because of what it is and what it represents. And so that's Full Metal Jacket. It's a fantastic film. It's a Stanley Kubrick film. Stars Vincent D'Onofrio, who plays Kingpin in the Marvel Universe and Daredevil. And it, like I said, it's a movie of two halves. So the beginning of the movie is very much about the recruitment and training of these cadets to go out to Vietnam. And you have this guy have a mental breakdown, basically. He's bullied and the shit hits the fan. But when you're watching it, when you're a certain age, it's all about the insults. It's all about the drill instructor cutting people down. And we used to quote those insults all the time. And then the second half of the movie is they go to Vietnam and the shit gets real. And yeah, it's a fantastic movie. And it's one that I had to get on this list because it's really powerful. And yeah, I think it really deserves it. Did it make anybody else's list?
You know what? So I think I missed seeing that. Like there, I would have put that on the top 10 actually, but because you've put it on there, I'm not going to because I want to talk about other films. But
yeah, okay, fine.
But I do have a Vietnam movie in there in my top 10, but it's not that one. It's not the more funnier one.
All right, Alex, was it on yours?
Yes, yeah, it was on my top 10, mate. Yeah, because again, same thing, man. When we grew up at school, it was like obviously one of our friends used to have the first half of the movie literally on audio cassette.
And, yeah, shout out to Ben.
I was always annoyed because I was in the classroom upstairs doing art, and him and a couple of other friends were downstairs doing sculpture, and the teacher used to walk out of the room and come up to us to fill his kettle for his cup of tea. And I always knew once he came up that Ben used to run into his office and put his cassette tape on and play that for the class. So I was always jealous. I knew it was happening.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's and it was a movie again because of the age we were. So in high school, you know 12 to 15, it wasn't a movie we should be watching. And so, you know, it was it was the insults. I can even remember, is that I didn't know they stack shit that high. It's like sucking a golf ball through a garden hose. And yeah, it's just it sticks with you. But like I said, as you get older, we watch that first half on
repeat.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then you get older, that second half really hits you in a different way. So, yeah. All right, cool. Right, so Alex, we are back to you for your third and final pick.
Oh, God, are we back to me again?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
This is tough. There's going to be some stuff that may end up getting missed out.
There's definitely stuff because... part of me, yeah, I feel like, even I mentioned earlier, I feel like I've got to go Lost Boys, man. It's just, I'm going two for vampire films.
No, but I know you're a big fan of the Lost Boys, yeah.
Lost Boys is great, man. Kiefer Sutherland, Jason Patrick, the two Coreys.
Coreys, yeah, that's right. Directed by Joel Schumacher.
Schumacher, you know. As
coming
much
back
as
to
I,
Batman and Robin.
Yeah, as much as I hate what he did with the Batman, I know it wasn't entirely his fault, but as much as I loathe those Batman movies as a Batman fan, but you can't deny, like, Joel Schumacher, he's made some, you know, Phone Booth is like one of his greats. I love that
great
film
movie
as well.
But
yeah, Lost Boys is just fantastic. It's, you know, it's that vampire film, but it's got that fun to it.
Yes.
Again, it's just one of those ones that if it was on, I can easily come into it at any point in the film and get sucked in. It's just it's a good fun time.
Yeah.
You know, some good effects.
Great makeup effects. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you know. The tagline, man, was it? It was something like, I had it a second and I literally just lost it now. It was something like, work all day, play all hard, it's fun to be a vampire or something like that. I can't remember.
Let's have a look. The Lost Boys. Surely be on the poster.
Sleep all day, party all night. Never grow old, never die. It's fun to be a vampire.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And and because of the age that we were watching it again, some of the key characters were of that younger age. So you're seeing it through their eyes and how you might like react in those situations. And, you know, it's the mum dating that boyfriend and they don't like him. And yeah, some real classic story tropes in there. But yeah, bringing out the vampire side of it. And doesn't it open with like the flight over the pier and stuff like that? Like from almost like a POV, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay. No, it's a film I need to go back
enough,
and watch.
I think for that, they did, so they have that. And then I think later in the film, they basically reverse that shot where they're like essentially trying to, like, should be flying out of the cave.
Yes.
If you actually watch it, you can actually like see like the water like actually flows.
Go back.
And all that kind of stuff. But it just doesn't matter, man, because it's just a cool way for them to like basically not have to show people actually like flying through the sky and doing it sort of POV, and it totally works. But if you watch it carefully, it's like, hold on a second, this is the same shot, but it literally like you see the water, like the waves of the water like float back.
Yeah. That's a good shout. No, it was number 8 on my list. Yeah, that was a lock in. Sasha, did it make your list?
Lost Boys in honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions. All right, cool. Okay, Sasha, so this is going to be your next pick, or your last pick. So,
there's a Sophie's choice here between my number three and number four, because it's a hard year. And even then, looking at all the other stuff, because I was sure that these two would get mentioned, but...
Oh, trust me, I'm gutted about some of the things that I haven't mentioned and you guys haven't mentioned either.
But. Yeah, it's Sasha with his Miami connection. He's just ruined it.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, but it was worth the mention, man. You got a reaction video out of it.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So, absolutely.
Yeah, man. I don't regret talking about new stuff. So, all right, I'm going to throw in one very close to my heart. It's my number three. Is Beverly Hills Cop 3. It's not Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Right. Okay.
Tony Scott's Beverly Hills Cop 2. I love this film. I love this film so much.
I prefer this to the first one, to be fair. In terms of like rewatchability, I'll probably watch
it. Oh man, you know what? Like Judge Reinhold really comes into his element in this movie. Billy, we need to talk. Guy's got so many guns. Oh God. And how he steals the house. And then you got just so many joke things in this film. You know what kills it for me, though? Like, years and years of watching it over and over as a kid and, like, as a teenager and stuff, I hadn't seen it in a real long time. And then I think the DVD release came. I was like, okay, I'll go check it out. And then I'll go check it out. And I'll check it out. And randomly one time, my 1,000th watch of this movie, and it's that intro shot. The intro shot where he's getting ready, you know, his Batman getting ready. Man just grabs a toast and throws it in the fish tank. Like, what the fuck? That's like some visual gag gold, man. How have I missed that my whole life, man? I put that up on Facebook. No one gave a fuck. Everyone was like, okay. I was like, shit is gold, man. But anyway, that's just me. Anyway, my warped sense of humor. I just thought, man couldn't even feed his fish properly. He just flung a toast in there. Like, what the hell?
So where was it on your list? What number?
Number three.
Okay. That's interesting. I had it on there, but it was a lot lower. I had it at number nine. So, yeah. All right. Alex, where is it on your list? Is it in your top 10?
It's in my top 10, yeah. Sorry, my list is a bit rejiggled at the moment. So, yeah, it's probably about like six or seven. Yeah, but number six.
Okay. I'm torn between two here because there's a movie I really wanted to get in on the top 10, but I can forgive it for not because it's not the quintessential typical movie. So it might end up going into an honorable mention, but Eddie Murphy Raw, his stand-up special was a cinematic release in 87.
Does that count?
Well, that's it. It's a cinematic release. So for me, I enjoyed that more than Beverly Hills Cop 2. That show lived with me. When we were in college, we watched that so many times. I downloaded the audio and listened to it almost like an audiobook. It was so quotable. It meant so much to us as a friends group. It meant a lot to us. So it's in my top 10, but I'm not going to pick it for this top 10. I'm going to have to go for this because talking about quintessential, this is the quintessential buddy cop movie. Amazing chemistry, mismatched partners, directed by Richard Donner, who gave us Superman, Mel Gibson, Danny Glover, Lethal Weapon. Has to be in this list.
That was my number four.
Right, so that's my number three. And it's like, I can't risk that not going in. So as much as I'd love to represent Eddie Murphy Raw, Lethal Weapon has to be in there. And that's such a solid franchise for those four movies.
There isn't a dip.
Yeah, absolutely agree with you there. And when you're talking about trilogies and, you know, there's four films in this, like Sasha said, there's no dip in quality. There's a lot of franchises you have one which is notably different from the others. This, they all have their different strengths. Bring in different characters, renew it, make it fresh. And just, you know, Mel Gibson in this one was just brilliant. And it was that chemistry with Danny Glover, you know, and I'm getting too old for this shit. And it just, yeah, it's just so good. Alex, I take it's on your list as well.
It was honorable mention to me for some reason. I don't know why. Lethal Weapon was never one I came to it late. I don't know why.
Right.
It wasn't one that I think, again, I was probably more sort of, you know, Beverly Hills Cop and, you know, like say like the Arnie films in the 80s. And that
I'm shocked.
Stuff.
I'm shocked.
Lethal Weapon was one that, yeah, it came to me much later. I'm not even, I'm pretty sure I have seen all of them in the franchise. But again, if you said to me, oh, look, you know, like what happened in like two and what happened, in, you know, I've got story elements, but to try
and which ones they fit into.
Oh, man, you know what? I could name bits from these films, man. I fucking love them all, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so that gives us nine. Okay, so I'm going to run through the nine that we have. So we have Predator, RoboCop, Lethal Weapon, Full Metal Jacket, The Lost Boys, Beverly Hills Cop 2, Miami Connection, Near Dark, and The Living Daylights. So we've got one more movie which we can put into this top 10. So before we do that, I want to go to each of you and you can run down your top 10 and talk about the movies that you want. So, Alex, give me your full top 10 and your honorable mentions.
Right. Okay, so we had, obviously, we got Predator, RoboCop, Beverly Hills Cop 2, Near Dark, The Lost Boys, Full Metal Jacket, Living Daylights, how many is that? Sorry, I've lost count. Some of mine is not written, like numbered out.
Don't worry if it's not in order.
I've got Princess Bride in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Planes, Trains and Automobiles. I think that's all I've got. Whether that's 10 or more, but that's pretty much
what okay. I've got. Did you have any other honorable mentions?
Nothing. I don't think we've not already talked
haven't
about,
covered.
To be fair.
Yeah. All right.
No, not really.
Okay. Sasha, run me down your top 10.
My top 10? Okay. RoboCop, Predator, Beverly Hills Cop 2, Lethal Weapon, The Living Daylights. Good morning, Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Evil Dead 2, The Miami Connection, Spaceballs, and The Untouchables.
Yes. Okay.
Untouchables was a last-minute entry. Originally, it was Dragnet.
I must have missed that. I didn't realize that was 87.
Tough year. Okay, do you want to give me some of your? I'll give you my top 10, then we'll go do our honorable mentions. So, my top 10, I had Predator, RoboCop, Lethal Weapon, The Untouchables, The Running Man. Again, Schwarzenegger there again.
Yeah.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Full Metal Jacket, The Lost Boys, Beverly Hills Cop 2, and Eddie Murphy Raw. So that was my top 10. Sasha, what were your honorable mentions?
Wall Street, Raising Arizona, Dragnet, Wicked City, Bad Taste, Stakeout, Over the Top, The Lost Boys, Free Men and a Baby, Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. I don't care how bad that film is. That's all we had in the 80s. All right.
Absolutely.
Harry and the Hendersons, Adventures in Babysitting, Playing Trains and Automobiles, Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol, and Empire of the Sun.
Right. Okay. Good shouts. Good shouts.
That was a lot of honorable mentions, man. So
Absolutely. So I had my honorable mentions. I had Dirty Dancing, Three Men and a Baby. And if you don't know what Three Men and a Baby is, Tom Selleck, Steve Guttenberg, Ted Danson, they get given a baby and they look after it like three inept men would in the 80s. Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. Masters of the Universe. A movie so bad, it's good. Wall Street, directed by Oliver Stone, Charlie Sheen and Michael Douglas. Fatal Attraction. So another Michael Douglas, big hit that year with Glenn Close and basically some stalker crazy woman. Good Morning Vietnam. The Witches of Eastwick. Jack Nicholson, Cher, Susan Sarandon, Michelle Pfeiffer, and then Dragnet is again Dan Aykroyd, Tom Hanks, Christopher Plummer, solid cast, great comedy. And this is where I need to, you know, clear my conscience about movies I haven't seen. And one is Empire of the Sun, not seen it.
Okay.
Directed by Steven Spielberg, stars a very young Christian Bale, stars John Malkovich and Miranda Richardson. Princess Bride. Never watched it. I know it'll make a lot of people's top 10 list of that year.
I've never seen that film either.
Yeah, it's a love story, adventure. It's got loads of quotes, I know, in that movie. Directed by Rob Reiner. It's got Cary Elwes, Robin White, Mandy Patinkin. I don't know these people. I don't know Robin Wright, but yeah, never seen it. Spaceballs, never seen it.
What?
Yeah, I know. This is what I say. I have to clear my conscience. I have to be honest about
Spaceballs.
I've seen parts of it. I've seen the clips, but I've never watched that movie all the way through. Mel Brooks, direct, yeah, John Candy, Rick Moranis. So that is on. I realized when I saw this, this has to go on my instant watch list. I need to watch
that. That's an instant. You know what? I remember seeing that on BBC One. I was ill. I was ill, but it was over Christmas. It was over Christmas. I had like asthma attack or something, and like I was just still kind of crook. And then I had some KFC. Like I had some KFC for dinner. It wasn't Christmas dinner. I think it was like, you know, the days before New Year's. KFC. I laughed so hard I threw up. in bed. Like literally.
Wow.
Like literally just blah. I was like laughing so hard, man. That I'll never forget that. And I know Brilliant. Exactly
what a story.
The assholes bit, that was too much, man.
I'm gonna check it out. Raising Arizona, not seen it. Nicolas Cage.
Damn.
The Last Emperor. The Last Emperor, I've not seen it. Historical drama recounts the story of Puyi, China's last emperor. And it swept the Oscars following that year. It won nine Oscars. So it's one of those that, you know, top tier. So I was like, yep, I'd have to see that. No Way Out, haven't seen that. Crime thriller about a politician who accidentally kills his mistress. It's got Kevin Costner, Gene Hackman, Sean Young. So I'm like, okay, I need to watch this. Less Than Zero, Robert Downey Jr. and James Spader. So it's about some Beverly Hills kids and cocaine. Robert Downey Jr. plays a self-destructive victim. And then James Spader is a drug dealer. I'm like, sounds amazing. Why haven't I seen this? And we've got Over the Top, a Sloan film I have not seen.
Never seen it? Oh, wow.
No, I've never actually seen it. So Sylvester Stallone is a trucker. He takes his snooty son out of military school, and he goes to Las Vegas to arm wrestle. So not seen it. And Moonstruck, again, that was an Oscar movie with Cher, and it stars Nicolas Cage as well. Not seen that either. So yeah, had to clear my conscience there. So none of us watch everything. So yeah, but Spaceballs, Princess Bride, Emperor of the Sun, Last Emperor, No Way Out. Yeah, I need to get on all of those. So any of those movies that you guys haven't heard of or haven't seen?
Quite a few of those that I've not seen. Again, yeah, it's just, I think that era, you grew up watching what you watched, and as you kind of get older,
what was on TV.
As you get older and you get more like, okay, I'd probably like appreciate these films more. They've just sort of passed you by, and you've never heard of them, or you just, you know, they just sort
yeah,
of like,
exactly. Because kind of we were just kids then, and these are all movies that we wouldn't have watched since last year. Like for instance, when Sasha recommended Blowout with John Travolta. You know, never saw it, watched it. It's fantastic. So, you know, there's this, and that's the whole point of this podcast. It's discovering movies that we haven't even seen. And we're, like I say, middle-aged men. Okay, we need to pick one more movie for this top 10. So I'm thinking along the lines of Untouchables, The Running Man, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Those are my three. Alex, is what movies haven't you picked that you want to be in contention?
Yeah, the one-off that I was, you know, it's probably like up there as like one of my favorite comedies of all time. So my vote would be Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Okay. All right.
So yeah, that'd be my vote.
All right. Sasha, what are your nominations? What would you put forward for us to vote on for this final spot?
Evil Dead 2.
I've never seen any of the Evil Deads.
Should check them out, man. They're pretty good.
Yeah, I've heard good things. And Neil will hang me for it. I'll read out Neil's list as well, actually.
Yeah. Now, to be honest, what would I fight for out of these films? Mm-hmm. That's the thing.
While you have a little think, I'll go through Neil's list.
I know what it is.
Right.
It's probably Good Morning Vietnam.
Okay. Yeah.
Probably that. Like, I love Spaceballs.
Mm-hmm.
Good Morning Vietnam is just a good, solid movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Robin Williams peak Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just peak Robin Williams, man. If you haven't seen it, he plays a radio DJ and he basically goes to Vietnam to go on the radio waves and cheer on the troops and put in some cool music and fill the airspace with jokes and stuff for him. And it's literally like a fight between him and the station manager that doesn't like it, the way he does things and stuff.
Yeah.
But the people love him. And
it's based on a true story, I think.
Is it based on the true story? Probably.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
But really good film, really good Vietnam film. If you're not into something that's more war orientated, this is the one for you kind of thing.
Yeah, it's more lighthearted in that sense.
But it's a little bit more lighthearted, but it's got everything you want from a drama kind of thing.
Yeah.
And to be quite honest, it's one of his best films, in my opinion, like hands down.
Okay. So Neil's list, he had Spaceballs, RoboCop, The Running Man, Predator, Lethal Weapon, The Lost Boys, A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors, Evil Dead 2, The Monster Squad, and Beverly Hills Cop 2. Some honorable mentions, he had Hellraiser, Full Metal Jacket, The Untouchables, The Witches of Eastwick, The Secret of My Success. I don't know that. Batteries not included.
Michael J. Fox, I think.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Secret of My Success, yeah.
Right.
That's a good film, actually.
Okay.
That's a good film.
But yeah, Batteries not included. Inner Space. Don't know. Living Daylights.
Was that 87? Oh, shit.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was.
That would definitely be honourable mentions for me. I love that.
He also had Living Daylights, Good Morning Vietnam, Wall Street, Adventures in Babysitting, Throw Mama from the Train. I think that's Danny DeVito.
Yeah,
it might be. Three Men and a Baby, and then Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So, yeah, Inner Space, that was 87. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I used to love that.
Who's it star?
Oh, Dennis
Quaid.
Martin Short.
Yeah, and Martin Short.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it, but it was never a standout film. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen it a few times.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, parts of it definitely would not hold up. I mean, the concept is quite cool, and some parts definitely would.
It's got some
cheesy moments. That probably
he's in the spaceship, and he gets injected into Martin Short, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Martin Short's like, holy shit, there's a guy inside me kind of shit. Cool, man.
Okay, so all right, if I had to pick one, this is hard. Planes, Trains, The Running Man, The Untouchables. The Untouchables is great. Brian De Palma, Kevin Costner, Sean Connery, Robert De Niro.
Well, here's the thing. What have we all got on our list? Okay. Have we got any that crossovers? I've got Morning Vietnam, Evil Dead 2, Spaceballs, and The Untouchables.
Okay. I've got The Untouchables as well.
Okay.
I've got Running Man, Planes, Trains, which isn't on your list. So we've got a crossover there. Alex, is Untouchables on your list?
Untouchables was not on my list. No, I think I must have missed that when I was going through the list of what came out that year.
Would it make your list? Or not really?
I don't know. It might.
How many doubles do you guys have?
To be fair, Untouchables is one of those ones I've seen it, but probably only like twice my whole life.
It's
one of those films I've not gone back to that many times. So it would be, I'd have to probably do a rewatch for it to be a little bit fresher in my mind to make that decision.
Fair enough.
I'm
not against Good Morning Vietnam because it is a very, very good film.
But don't you two have other doubles like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
I think only Planes, Trains.
I've got Planes, Trains, and Running Man.
I don't have a problem with that because you know what I love about Planes, Trains, and Automobile? It's a comedy where you can watch it over and over. And every time you watch it, you're going to find something new.
Yeah, it's true.
But guaranteed you're going to find something new to laugh at.
Yeah. It's directed by John Hughes, you know.
Yeah.
Man had a good streak. I have to give him that. Steve Martin, John Candy. Okay. So I think it's probably between Planes, Trains and Good Morning Vietnam and The Untouchables. So, I'm I'm happy with any of them, really. So I would say it's probably between The Untouchables and Planes, Trains, because Alex and I don't have Good Morning Vietnam, but we've got crossovers with The Untouchables and Planes, Trains. So we'll put it to a final vote. I will go with... I'll go with Planes, Trains for rewatchability, I think. So Planes, yeah. Trains has got my vote.
Yep, that'd be my vote too, mate, to be fair.
Yeah, all same.
Right, cool. Yeah, all right. So Planes, Trains, and Automobiles makes the list. But yeah, very difficult year again, you know? So I think it's just going to get more and more difficult. The 90s is going to be something, I'll have to say. That is going to be something.
88 is going to be...
Insane. I haven't even looked at 88 yet, so...
I took a glimpse.
You had a gander already? Right, okay. So our final top 10 list, Predator, Robocop, Lethal Weapon, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Full Metal Jacket, The Lost Boys, Beverly Hills Cop 2, Miami Connection, Near Dark, The Living Daylights. Great spectrum of films there. Happy with that list. We've already spoken about all the honourable mentions and everything that could have made the list. So, listeners and viewers, are you screaming and yelling at us about what we haven't picked and put into that top 10? Let us know in the comments. Let us know what we got right. Let us know what we got wrong. We want to hear from you.
Everyone's going to be like, this Sasha motherfucker and his Miami connection.
Yeah, could have had The Running Man. You could have had Untouchables. Yeah, could have had Good Morning Vietnam. But yeah, we're Miami connection. But hopefully if you've watched this podcast, as opposed to listening to it, you know what? Even if you listened to this, you would have got the treat from that Miami connection trailer. So it is a film I'm sure people are going to check out. So yeah, absolutely. All right. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for watching. Really appreciate you. As always, please make sure you hit that like and subscribe on our YouTube channel. We really appreciate the support. If you're able to, if you're listening to on an audio podcast, you can drop us a review and a follow, whether it's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate that as well. So like I said, the video version is available on YouTube and Spotify, and you can get the audio version on any major podcast platform. Gentlemen, is there anything you'd like to speak about before we go?
No, we're good.
No, we're all good. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining me, guys. And until next time, thanks for listening. Peace out.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
This is the way.
This is the way.
I'm going to make him an offer,
Captain. Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
Were you rushing or were you dragging?
That's what she said.
I don't want to brag, but I will. I was in the Avengers.
The Avengers?
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
What is that?
Say my name.
I am the father.
Oh, chills. Literal chills.
It was number 5. Number 5 killed my brother.
Oh my God, I forgot about that part.